Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
It happened in my bedroom at the age of 10. I always had trouble sleeping and spent most nights tossing and turning. I was a horror film fanatic as a child, and being scared was something I didn't have much experience with. I was not afraid of the dark, nor was I easily swayed by strange sounds or odd encounters. I did, however, know when to haul ass out of a situation or to find a trusted adult.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I always slept with my closet doors open, which will come to be of some significance later in the story. I should also mention that my family home was in a heavily wooded area, in what some may refer to as the middle of nowhere. One night, around 1 a.m., I awoke to a sound coming from underneath my bed. It sounded like one of my cats was scratching themselves with one of their feet or doing something to cause a thumping beneath me. I had heard this same sounds many times before, and its source had always been one of my fuzzy friends. So this time, I didn't look. Closed my eyes and tried to resume my slumber. I turned over onto my left side, which left me facing the wall against which my bed was pressed up. I heard the sound again, and thinking that my kitty was directly beneath me, I said, "Good night." I was able to fall asleep once again. The next time I awoke, it was to a surreal and shocking scene. The sheet and comforter of my bed were no longer covering me. I saw a man standing over my bed poking me. Literally poking me with his finger. And the way in which he did so was truly horrifying. It was not the way that a child would poke a friend in jest. It was as if he was touching another human being for the first time. Exploring the sensation of the tip of his index finger jabbing at flesh. What I saw was so unbelievable and so impossibly strange that I believed I was dreaming. I tried desperately to awake from my nightmare, to no avail. The poking continued. He poked at my chest, my belly, my legs, and my arms. Paralyzed and scared shitless, I yelled, "Wake up!" And with this, the man threw himself to the floor and closed his eyes, as if he was trying to lead me to believe that he was asleep or dead. I have no idea. It was at this time I realized I could not have been dreaming. I somehow found the ability to move, and I jumped from the top of my bed over the man lying on the floor next to me and ran towards my parents' room. When I got to their bedroom door, something came over me. I told myself that this was all impossible, that there was no way that a person could have entered our home without breaking in, as we had always kept every door and window locked at night. I had seen many strange things in my home while either falling asleep or waking up. By the third or fourth time, after speaking to my mom or dad about it, I knew that it was my mind playing tricks on me. Plush toys do not have the ability to turn and whisper into each other's ears. Do not ask why, dear listener, as I have no explanation to offer you, but I turned away from my parents' bedroom door and decided to hastily check the house for a break-in. What I found was that nothing was out of the ordinary. No broken windows or locks. No busted doors. I assured myself that I had to have been dreaming or hallucinating it. Blamed my obsession with horror for this. I made my way down the long, dark, and narrow hallway to my bedroom. I peeked inside and saw no one. I turned on the light, got down on the floor just outside the doorway, and looked under the bed. Still nothing. I proceeded to check both of my windows for signs of a break-in, which were not present. Both windows were closed and locked. I knew it. I was totally seeing things. I crawled back into bed and decided to watch some TV in order to calm myself down and distract myself from thoughts of the scary as hell dream slash hallucination I just had. I turned on the TV, flipped to a channel with a seemingly boring program. This always helped me become sleepy, and put the remote control on my bedside table. I was lying on my right side, facing away from the wall that I mentioned previously. As I lay there, my eyes began to adjust to the dark room with the faint light from the TV screen. just beyond the TV, I saw something that made my heart sink into the pit of my stomach. Inside my closet, with one of the doors now slightly closed, I saw the man standing perfectly still, facing the wall, hiding, waiting for me to fall asleep, I imagine. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. I sat and stared at the man in the closet for what seemed like minutes, but was likely only a few seconds. I quietly got out of bed, hoping that the man wouldn't notice and that my dad could catch him hiding in the closet. I once again made my way to my parents' bedroom door, still remaining as quiet as I possibly could, and went inside. I shook my dad and my mom at the same time, and when they awoke, I said, "Shh, don't make any sound. There's somebody in my closet." My parents both jumped up and said, "What?" I repeated myself and asked them to please call 911. My mom immediately picked up the phone. Neither of my parents doubted my claim, as I had always been honest and forthright. They both knew that there was no way I was making this up or that I was mistaken. I'm sure that the look I must have had on my face made it clear that this was really happening. My dad told my mom and I that he was going to look and urged us to stay in their bedroom and lock the door, so we did. At this point, I was beyond scared. I didn't know what the man was capable of, whether he had a weapon, or whether my dad was safe. I just stood in the room with my mom and cried. After what felt like hours, my dad knocked on the door and told me it was him and that it was okay to open the door. My mom unlocked the door and let my dad inside. I said something to the effect of, "Did you get him?" And my dad looked at me with the most unsettling and confused look imaginable. He said, "There's no one there." I assured him that there was indeed a man in my room and that he'd been poking me. My dad said that he just checked every inch of the house and found nobody. He had also checked the doors and windows, just as I had done. Then it hit me. He must have had a key. As soon as I said this, my parents looked at each other in absolute terror. Our nearest neighbor, a trusted and beloved friend whom we considered family, was in possession of a key to our house, as she had regularly babysat me since I was a toddler. She was the only person outside of my immediate family with a key to our home. Soon after this revelation, the police arrived, took statements, checked around our property, and left. None of us got any sleep that night.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The next day, my dad went to my neighbor's house and asked if she knew where her key to our house was. She said yes, and when she went to show him, she saw that it was missing. Her home had no signs of a break-in, and she had always kept her doors and windows locked. My parents had all of the locks on our doors changed and opted to never give a key to anyone, except in the wake of an emergency. I never discovered the identity of the man that lurked in my bedroom that night. The event left me traumatized, and it took a very long time for me to accept what happened and move on. My sleeping trouble turned into full-on insomnia, and for about a decade, I was unable to sleep without a light on. So these incidents started about 6 years ago and went on for a couple of years. I used to be really into the music scene, going to shows and festivals every chance I got. This often meant meeting random people whose names I would forget 5 seconds later. As a result of being out in Atlanta nightlife so often, I got frequent friend requests on Facebook, and naive younger me blindly accepted them, assuming they were just people I'd met at shows that I was too drunk or distracted to remember. One day, I got a message from somebody named Eddie. His Facebook profile picture was of someone at least a decade older than me, with long straggly hair. He looked harmless enough, just another show-going hippie, I assumed. His message simply asked if I was the girl that danced a half circle around him at the local show last night, and then twirled dreamily away, or something along those lines. This was back in 2012, so I don't remember the exact words. I responded that I had no recollection of that, and upon further investigation, saw that he lived in an entirely different state, so it couldn't have been me. He said that I must have a doppelganger out there somewhere, and I left the conversation at that. Over the next few months, I'd get random notifications that he had messaged me, asking if I'd be at various shows across the Southeast. I mostly ignored the messages, but would very occasionally respond, shortly expressing interest in a band he had mentioned, just trying to be polite. Why younger me felt the need to be polite to everyone is beyond me. I have since learned that it's okay to not respond to persistent internet strangers, messages became more and more frequent, so I just started to leave them unread. Again, why I didn't block him is beyond me. I guess I thought he was just harmless and lonely. Fast forward about a year. It's the summer of 2013, as two of my best friends and I are caravanning to Wakarusa, a music festival that took place in Ozark, Arkansas. It was about a 13-hour drive from Atlanta, but totally worth it. We went every year. An important note here is that this wasn't some small intimate festival. It hosted upwards of 40,000 people, and it was often hard to keep track of my friends, let alone find people I knew who came separately. So my friends and I are on a blanket in the middle of a huge crowd, watching widespread panic. It's nighttime, so the only lights are coming from the stage slash random LED toys or glow sticks or whatever. Out of nowhere, someone elines for our blanket, makes himself at home next to me without permission, and strikes up a conversation. My group of friends is generally warm and accepting, and it wasn't unusual to make random friends at a big hippie fest like this, so thought nothing of it at first. Probably just someone high on ecstasy and looking for company. It wasn't until he started referencing me in my Facebook personally that the alarm bell started going off. This was Eddie. I had honestly completely forgotten about him and his persistent messages, and in the darkness, there was no way I would have recognized him. He was talking like I was an old friend and tried to follow us around all night. Once I subtly alerted the others about who he was, we made every excuse in the book to try and leave, go back to our campsite and call it a night. He was painfully insistent on following us back there and continuing to hang out. Obviously, I didn't want him to know where I slept, so I tried to appease him by saying I was exhausted, but that we could try to meet up tomorrow. Again, dumb, I know. I was just doing anything I could to get him away in the moment and had no intention of actually following through. He finally left us alone, and we walked a long roundabout way to our campsite, just in case he had watched her try to follow at a distance. The next day, I made an avid point to avoid the area where we ran into Eddie slash discussed meeting up. The festival venue was huge, so I figured there was no way he'd find me again. I was beside a small stage in the back corner of the venue, hooping in the woods with my friends, when I noticed him out of the corner of my eye. He was standing beside a tree alone, watching me with a weird smile. It reminded me of a proud dad watching his young daughter play, but with way creepier and more sinister overtones. Still, he hadn't done or said anything explicitly creepy or threatening, but his presence was so unsettling that I grabbed my friends and we pretended that he had forgotten about a set that was starting, so we ran out of the wooded stage area. I remember hoping he didn't notice I had seen him. The festival ended the next day, and I was relieved to not see him again. Fast forward about another year. At this point, I barely used Facebook and had all but forgotten about Eddie. My friend that I went to the festival with was visiting from out of town that night, and we were going to get some drinks. He got to my house, and we were catching up, and the subject of the festival came up. We started talking about Eddie and how weird that whole situation was, but at this point, it was less creepy and more of just a strange memory. I told him Eddie used to message me all the time, but I had stopped opening them years ago. Naturally, my friend wanted to look through the messages, so I obliged. I began to scroll through the messages, and I realized just how dire of a mistake it may have been not to block him. He had started by asking me what shows I was going to go to, what part of Atlanta I lived in, etc. Not taking the hint that I clearly had no interest in responding at that point. Then, as the months went by, he was sending me links to tickets he had bought for me to shows in Atlanta, and then links to tickets he had bought for us to go together. There was one message asking where he could pick me up for a show that was 2 hours away in Athens, and saying that he couldn't wait to see me again. The messages continued to go on and on, but at this point, I was so creeped out, I immediately blocked him, finally, and closed the computer wide-eyed. What the actual heck? He sounded like he was carrying on an entire relationship with me without my consent. He never acknowledged the fact that I literally hadn't responded to or even seen a message from him in over a year. Shaken up, we decided to just go get a drink and stop thinking about this weirdo. We get to Edgewood, a popular bar district in my city, and walk to our favorite small bar to get a drink. As soon as we walk into the bar, my heart sinks to the pit of my stomach. To this day, this was the creepiest slash most coincidental moment that has ever happened. I see Eddie sitting at the far end of the bar. His face lights up as soon as I walk in, and he motions me over. He says something along the lines of, "I can't believe it's you," and starts firing off questions about me.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
My life, what I've been up to, and all that. At this point, the darkest feeling washes over me. I just feel unsafe and exposed. Like, why is he here? He doesn't even live in Georgia. I quickly tell him I have to use the bathroom, but then I'll be back to the bar for a drink. I grab my friend, equally in shock, and we speedwalk around the corner to the bathrooms and then past them. I'll forever be grateful that the door to the patio area was just past the bathroom, so got a head start. We get outside, hop the fence, and start running to my car. I glance behind us, and Eddie somehow figured out in those 15 seconds that we left, even though you can't see the bathrooms from where he was sitting. And he is walking rapidly across the sidewalk in our direction, eyes on me. We book it to my car and get the heck out of there, and leave Edgewood as quickly as we can. Shaken, I drive us around for about an hour before eventually going home to make sure we weren't being followed. As inconclusive as the whole thing was, that was the last time I ever saw Eddie, and I often wonder if this was just a strange string of coincidences, or it was more sinister. After all, he didn't even live in Georgia. Why was he at one of my favorite bars alone, the night I happened to go through all of his old messages? Had he somehow gotten a hold of my location via Facebook? I made sure all my location services were off when I checked my phone, so to this day, I have no idea how he ended up there or what his intentions were. I've always wanted to share this, but I could never find the right place. For reference, at the time this all began, I was 14 and a freshman in high school, back in 2008/2009, so not recent at all. It all began during the first couple of weeks of school. I went to this school district all my life and never had any real issues since I had no enemies and only friends. So anyway, it all began one Friday afternoon after school. I was hanging out with friends outside of the school until my mom came to pick me up, when I decided to go upstairs to my locker and put a textbook away that I was originally going to bring home for the weekend. When I got up to my locker, there was a note taped onto it. My name was written on it with a heart around it, and I read it. It was a love letter signed, "Your Secret Admirer." Thinking it was a friend playing a prank, I laughed it off and tossed it in the trash. When I confronted them downstairs, they denied that they put a note on my locker and insisted that it was probably from a boy. I didn't know what to think, but I did think of a few cute guys I went to school with and hoped it was from one of them, but I sighed and thought it could have been anyone and most likely none of them. 2 months go by. During this time, we had school picture day and my mom had ordered some, which were eventually given to us during one of our classes. I kept them in my locker so I wouldn't lose them. It was a Friday and I was going to stay after school with friends again and hang around until the school football game was over later in the evening. I waited until about 2 hours after school ended or so to grab my belongings out of my locker, including the photos. I put them in my backpack and headed on outside and hung out around the football field with my friends until people started showing up for the game. After which, we walked around or sat in the grass and talked the rest of the evening. When I got home that night, I gave my mom the photos and she noticed that one of the wallet-sized photos had been cut off from the rest. I never bothered to look at all of them, and so I wasn't aware of this. I told her I didn't cut one off, but she didn't believe me. I didn't know what to think of it. A few weeks go by and I all but forgot about the missing photo. I found another note taped to my locker and this time, one of my school photos was in it, with a heart drawn around my head. A wallet-sized photo. The note made mention of how beautiful I looked during the game, sitting with my friends in the grass, talking and laughing. This made me feel weird. Whoever's doing this had stolen one of my photos either out of my locker during school, which means they have my lock combination. On that Friday, or while I left my backpack unattended during the football game. Once again, it was probably one of my friends playing a prank on me, and I didn't say anything about it. It had been several months since that last note. Things took a rather stressful turn the following week. I was at home after school one day, alone, while my mom was working a double shift when somebody came knocking on my front door. Thinking it was a pesky neighbor, I took my sweet time to answer it and opened the door to find nobody there. I looked around and saw nothing but other mobile homes and neighbors' cars. I shut the door and resumed what I was doing. I heard the knocking again about 10 minutes later. I took my time to answer it and found Mike, one of our only friendly male neighbors, there with his Boston Terrier on a leash. He asked me if I had somebody over, which I didn't. He then told me that he saw somebody snooping around my home a few minutes ago. I felt uncomfortable and said I didn't have anyone over and asked who it was, and he said he didn't recognize him. I thanked him and locked all of my doors and windows after he left. The next month was full of incidents where our motion sensor backlight would come on. In the evening, it was capped off by my mom calling the police after she found a dead rabbit nailed to our back porch in a rather cruel fashion. At the time, I never would have imagined that the notes, the snooping around, and now the dead rabbit were the work of somebody who had been stalking me in the shadows for the last several months, but it all came to fruition the following day at school. I found the final note taped to my locker. There was a big bulge in it, and when I took it apart, the foot of a rabbit fell onto the floor in front of me. I shrieked in terror as a teacher came running up to me, and I pointed out the rabbit's foot. He picked it up and asked me where it came from. Showed him the note, and we immediately went to the office and showed the vice principal what we found. Later in the day, I was called into the office and found my mom there with the principal and vice principal. It was there that I had to recount the events over the last couple of months, for the first time to anyone, and give the names of students that I think may have been responsible, based on any suspicious interactions I had, through social media or in school. But I never had anyone that seemed off to me. They told me that if anything were to happen again, to let them know and they'll get the police involved if my life appears to be in danger. Mom had already contacted the state trooper who visited our home the previous night about the rabbit's foot being found in my locker at school and how a student may have been involved in it. From that day onward, nothing else major happened. However, about halfway through my junior year, I got another love letter. This time, instead of it being written out by hand, it was typed out and signed, "Your secret admirer from freshman year." I had all but forgotten about what had happened during my freshman year. I kept this note and gave it to the principal, who kept it as evidence in case things escalated again, but they never did. Luckily, nothing else ever happened afterwards. At least nothing that was obvious.
I had a really creepy experience a few years back when I took a road trip. I was traveling to visit my girlfriend, who at the time was in school far away. She had just 3 months left until she would move back home, but I had some time off work, so I decided to make the drive. I did not fly so that I would save money, and even though it was a long drive, I didn't mind too much because I like road trips. So the plan was for me to drive all day, stay in a cheap hotel the first night, and then arrive at her school the next evening. On the first day of driving, I started after I got off work at about 2 p.m. I drove all the way until about midnight, and then I was too tired to go much farther, and I knew I needed to stop and get some rest. I was kind of in the middle of nowhere at that point, though, so I just looked for any kind of a city or town. I took a random exit that had some signs for food. Well, the only food there was McDonald's and a Taco Bell down the road. There was also a gas station. But the only hotel was actually this cheap and run-down-looking motel that was about a mile farther down the road from anything else. Surrounding it was nothing but the parking lot and then basically woods off in the distance. There was nowhere else to stay, and this seemed fine to me because of the fact that I wanted to stay at a cheap place anyways. So I drove into the motel parking lot, which was almost completely empty. It looked rough, like I said, but it wasn't completely awful. It seemed like it would be good enough for the night. After parking my car, I walked to the office, which was at the far end of the building. There was a man working, and I got a room for the night, which was very cheap. I felt good about how much money I was saving, and I convinced myself that the place would be fine. When I got into my room, it seemed like a standard motel. The room opened straight out to the sidewalk in front of the parking lot. Then inside the room was a bed, an old TV, and a bathroom. It wasn't that nice, but it didn't seem crazy dirty or anything. So I relaxed in there for a little while until I turned out the lights to go to bed. It was not more than a minute after I had laid down to go to sleep, though, that I heard a knock on the door of the motel room. This gave me a bad feeling right away, based on the hour of night that it was, and the fact that I was at a sketchy motel. I ignored it at first, but whoever was there knocked again. So finally, I got up out of bed and crept over to the window. There, I carefully moved the shades, which had been covering the windows entirely. I looked, and there was a sketchy-looking man standing there outside the door. I couldn't see him that well, but he had longer hair and was wearing a sweatshirt and dark pants. He had a bit of a beard as well, but had an overall dirty appearance. I had never seen him before. He knocked once more, and I moved away. I hoped that he would go away, but he remained there. Finally, I heard him start to leave. I heard him walking off, and I looked out the window and saw him walking away down the sidewalk, and he quickly went out of my sight. He had been at the door for a total of probably 2 minutes. After he was gone, I was really not that tired anymore. My heart was racing. I turned on the TV to try to settle down and be able to go to sleep. For the next 30 minutes or so, I flipped around the channels and was just starting to relax again. Then, as I was still watching the TV, I heard another knock on the door. I was sure that the man was back. I went to the window and looked out of it again. This time, there was a different man there. This guy was wearing all black, had a hooded coat with the hood up, and I could barely see his face. Another sketchy-looking dude. I was definitely not going to answer the door for him either. He knocked again, and I ignored it. Then, this guy actually tried opening the door, which was locked. That really creeped me out, but after not successfully getting into my room, he walked away. I was so confused. Two sketchy guys trying to get into my room. What did they want? I was certainly not going to be able to fall asleep now. I went back to watching TV, just trying to take my mind off of it. For the next 30 minutes or so, nothing happened. Then there was another knocking on the door. I looked, and it appeared as though the first guy was back. He knocked on the door louder than before. I watched him through the window, and he was standing there similar to earlier. The strange thing is that all my lights were still off, and had never been on when the guys were there. The TV was on, but it wasn't providing that much light or sound. Why did these guys think that somebody was here? The guy stayed at my door for longer this time. He knocked again, and I was really creeped out. Finally, then, he left. I stayed up watching TV for over an hour. In that time, nobody came back, and then I was finally able to fall asleep. I'm not even sure how many hours of sleep I got that night, but thankfully, nobody returned. I left the next morning and drove all the way to my girlfriend's college. Looking back, that's something that I still think about from time to time.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I never figured out who those guys were or what they wanted.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.